Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Fellowship Bible Church. It is a delight to see you all here this afternoon, gathered to worship the newborn King, the Lord Jesus Christ. We bring you greetings, Christmas greetings in His name. We're grateful again for the ability to be able to do this and sing His praises today. I do want to ask if you do remember to take out that cell phone and put it on airplane mode, which, again, I've forgotten to do, so I'm going to do that as soon as I step down from this pulpit. Nursery is available for up to age 4 if you need that capability. Any needs that you have other than what I mentioned, please come and see me or one of the other folks at the back or somebody else that sort of looks like they know what they're doing, and we'll get you taken care of. If you are a visitor here today, and I don't mean necessarily a first-time visitor, but somebody who has come occasionally in the past or as a guest of someone, I'm not talking about the Hiawatha folks. You've been here many times. But we have a special gift for you, and we want to make sure that you get one of those. So if you did not already get one, please see my wife up here in the front row or myself to be able to get one of those afterwards. And let's see, what else can I say? So there are, if you're not familiar with the building, there are restrooms on the other side of this wall here through the library and a set across the hall there. That way George will direct you over there. And we want to invite you to stay for the reception afterwards too. So after the service, we'll have a little bit of food and fellowship right down the hall. And we'd love to have you stay for that. You did not have to bring anything. There's no entrance fee or poll tax or anything like that. You just come and join us for the fellowship that we will enjoy. So join me in prayer. And then the way the program is going to work today is that there will be a hidden narrator who you will hear over the loudspeaker but will not come up here each time in order to facilitate the quick movement of people in and out of the pulpit. And so as soon as I'm done praying, the narration will begin, then the first song, and then we'll just go right one after the other after that until I come up again, and I'll share a little bit from the Bible, and then we'll be finished. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to you. We pray with thanksgiving in the name that is above every name, that we can be together to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is eminently worthy of such worship, for He gave Himself a ransom for our sins. He came not to be served, but to serve. And yet, ironically, for all eternity, we will joyfully serve Him for what He has done for us. Now, as we remember the incarnation, the virgin birth, those first days of Mary and Joseph and all that it implies, may we have our hearts drawn heavenward, take away the bent to distraction, to tiredness from each one's heart and mind, and help us to pay close attention to the words, the manner of the singing and of the preaching of your word and the narrations as well. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Our program begins with the proclamation and celebration of the newborn King. The words, "Glory to the newborn King," are a reflection of the angelic message in Luke 2. The poem that forms the base of the song was written in 1739 by Charles Wesley. George Whitfield then modified the wording to the current version, "Hark the herald angels sing."
Thank you. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. At this time, we will stand together and sing a carol from the 1880s that is commonly sung for children, yet it carries an important message for us all.
Thank you, Drew. If you can stand with me, you'll find red hymnals under the seats in front of you, and we will sing hymn 232, Away in a Manger, and we'll just do the first and the last. You may be seated.
Next, our instrumental ensemble presents the first Noel. The word Noel is French for Christmas, and it comes from the Latin word natalis, meaning birth. It tells of the events of the Christmas, of the first Christmas, including the angel's message to the shepherds who came and worshiped, as well as of the wise men who followed the star to bring worship and gifts to the child. It ends with an encouragement that we all should sing praises to our heavenly Lord. Now, as our children come to the front, we prepare our hearts to hear about the miracle of God come down to dwell among us. They will bless us with a song about a special name the Bible uses for Jesus. You may have heard him called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isaiah 7:14 is where we first see this name 700 years before his birth. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Thank you, Children's Choir, for that joyful song. In our next song, On Christmas Night All Christians Sing, also called the Sussex Carol, the lyrics continue to focus on the joy of Jesus' birth, which is news of great joy, news of great mirth, news of our merciful King's birth. Why should men on earth be sad, since our Redeemer made us glad? When from our sin he set us free, all for to gain our liberty.
Thank you.
We now move back in time to an ancient carol that originated from Wexford County, Ireland, and is thought to have been sung as early as the 1100s. This song encourages us to contemplate what our good God has done for us in sending his beloved Son, and to be thankful for him just like the shepherds were.
Strife.
We invite all to stand again as we sing now of another ancient song titled, O Come, Emmanuel. This hymn originates from medieval monastic chants from around the 8th to 9th centuries. Later adapted into a hymn and translated into English in the 1850s, we'll sing all three verses in our hymnal, though in some versions there are seven verses, each focusing on a different prophetic name for the Messiah, like Wisdom, Key of David, and Dayspring. In the first verse, imagine yourself in captivity with the Jewish nation in exile, longing for the return of Messiah to rescue them. In the other verses, remind yourself that we live in a broken world, hoping for a deliverance from the darkness of sin and looking forward to the coming of the King of Nations.
Thank you, Drew. That's hymn 208, hymn 208, O Come, Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou Dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by the advent here. Disperse the gloomy night and bless dark shadow.
You will likely not be familiar with the next song's lyrics. Here's the chorus. There is more light in this child than darkness in the world. There is more peace in this prince than power of strife or sword. There is more love in this king than death can stand against. His name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Fear not, for I bring you good news.
The classic carol, We Three Kings, describes how the wise men followed the star till they found the child Jesus. There they presented gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, symbolic of his kingship, his priestly ministry, and the death he would die at the young age of 33. These wise men, or magi, came from the east, probably from the former seat of the Babylonian Empire, where their ancestors over 500 years earlier had been taught by the prophet Daniel that a chosen one was going to come. They likely also knew the prophecy of Micah from even more ancient times. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting.
Continues with the familiar Joy to the World. Sometimes the holiday seasons can find us feeling blue. But we can have great joy as we ponder Christ coming as a baby. And then there will be ultimate joy when he returns to rule as perfect king, and the world prospers beyond the imagination of even the greatest optimists among us.
Special thanks go to one of our contemporaries, a Scottish singer-songwriter named Ruth Campbell, for sharing our next song, which turns our thoughts once again to the wonder of God with us, which is the meaning of the Hebrew word Emmanuel. The lyrics begin with echoes of 1 John 3 and John 1, saying, "What love from our Father who sent us his Son! The Word became flesh, Christ, the promised one. He humbled himself. The sinless Savior was born. His name is Jesus, the the light of the world. We'll look forward to hearing the rest of these lyrics.
To God, the Messiah has come.
Glory be to God.
The good news of great joy of knowing God through Jesus is news that is meant to be shared. And that's the point of this next carol. While its exact origins are unclear, Go Tell It on the Mountain was first published by John Wesley Work Jr., who played a key role in popularizing and preserving this African-American spiritual from the mid-19th century. Isaiah 52:7 says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" At this time, we'll stand together to sing another Christmas favorite. Please think deeply about the words as you sing, "O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord." This song calls us not to just watch others skillfully play and sing about the Lord, but to worship him ourselves.
Please stand with me and we'll sing hymn 189 and 189, "O come, all ye faithful."
Our choir gathers again to complete our music presentation today with a touching reminder that where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Would you join in the prayer? O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Well, what I shall share this afternoon will not be so melodious as what you have just listened to, but hopefully it will strike a chord in your heart nonetheless. Our greatest desire for you, if you are here and do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, is that through the words of these songs, the music, and the message that I'll share just now, that the course of your life will be changed forever and for all eternity. And so I want to share with you today, following on with the phrase that was in one of our songs that said, "Glory be to God, the Messiah has come." And we're grateful for the ladies that sang that song. And we're also exhorted this afternoon to consider well and to bear in mind truths such as what we'll share just now. Do you personally trust in this Messiah of whom we have sung? Is the course of your life directed by Him? Is the end of your life saved by Him? Have you given your life to Him in ultimate allegiance? And so I thought to maybe highlight that this afternoon. We would look in the Scripture for the answers, Jesus' own answers, as to why He came. And I'll give you just a handful of those reasons with some Scripture reading this afternoon. Yesterday I was speaking with somebody, and I was pleased when I cited a short piece of Scripture. This person was not familiar with the Bible at all, and they just thought, wow, how profound. Now, they probably thought the profundity came from me, but the reality was I was borrowing an ancient proverb. And that's the power of the Word of God, isn't it? God's Word is able to bring light and life and transformation to your soul. And so I just thought I'd share with you a few verses that talk to us about why Jesus came. The Scripture says in John 5:43, "I have come," following on again with, "Glory be to God, the Messiah has come. I have come in my Father's name. I have come down from heaven," John 6:38 adds, "not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." And some asked, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He says, 'I have come down from heaven'?" He came down from heaven in the name of the Father. And of course, the physical explanation of this, I say physical, although it's miraculous, is the first Christmas. He came down by means of the virgin birth. Now, it doesn't matter if it was actually December 25th when it happened. Likely it was not. But this is the time of year that we set aside to worship Him regarding His incarnation, to recognize the truth that God took on humanity and dwelt among us. John chapter 1 and verse 14 puts it in sublime fashion when it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. "And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So He came from heaven in the name of the Father. Secondly, He came to fulfill the law. The Scripture says in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus speaking again, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And I'm thinking of two nuances of this for your benefit this afternoon. First of all, He came to fulfill the law by perfectly obeying the law, the moral requirements that we could never do. If you ever stop and ponder, just for instance, the Ten Commandments, you don't have to get very far into the list of ten before you realize I've botched it. I've blown it. My conscience tells me that I am a sinner, and I have not met up with the demands of God's law, but one did, Jesus, coming from the Father and coming to fulfill the law. And He also came to fulfill the law in another sense, and that is that He came to fulfill its prophecies about His coming. Out of Bethlehem would come a ruler to rule God's people, that He would come in Daniel chapter 9 and be cut off, not for Himself, but for the sins of His people, that He would come in the manner of Isaiah 53 and take upon Him the iniquities of us all. We'd all gone astray like sheep, and He took our sins upon Himself. Those promises were delivered by the prophets to the people of Israel, and Jesus came to fulfill those. So He came in the name of the Father from heaven. He came to fulfill the law. He came seeking spiritual fruit from His people. It's not like he needed to come down here to see for himself because he knows everything. But like God, the pre-incarnate Christ, we could say in Genesis 19 when he wanted to go down and see in Sodom and Gomorrah, if it was just like what he had heard it was, to see with his own eyes if the iniquity of those cities was just as bad as the reports had been. And so he went there and sent the two angels there to fetch Lot and his family out of that place. Well, Jesus came. It says in Luke 13:7, he went to the keeper of his vineyard and he said, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and I find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" That fig tree picturing the nation of Israel and Christ looking for fruit from that fig tree. I wonder if Christ were to come now and look for fruit, spiritual fruit in our lives, would he say, "You know, why bother? Just cut down this tree." He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. One of the good pieces of news about that passage is that his helpers in Luke 13, when he said, "Ah, just cut it down," they said, "Wait, just let us fertilize it for another year, just a little bit more, and let's see if it will produce." Today represents a little extra time for all of us to produce the fruit of praise and honor and glory to God, and so that we would not be like those that did not receive him, or those when he came to his vineyard looking for the return on his investment, they rejected him. Fourthly, he came to call people to repent and to believe the good news of the coming king. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 38, the text of Scripture says, "But he said to them, 'Let us go to the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth.'" So when you think about Christmas, don't just think it's a nice little fairy tale. It's a nice little story about a guy who came to Palestine in the Middle East and, you know, did a few nice things. It's not that at all. It's not a myth. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a story. An actual man named Jesus came to show us the Father from heaven, to fulfill the law, to seek spiritual fruit from his people, and he came to call you and I to repent. Earlier in that gospel, chapter 1, Jesus is recorded as saying this, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Repent and believe the gospel. That is the message for us today. Think about that for a while. If the kingdom is coming and the king is ruling and you're not on the right side of the king, then what's going to happen with you? Well, the scripture tells us you won't experience the blessing of his kingdom. Jesus also, somewhat sadly, came to announce judgment. In John 9:39, the scripture says, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind." It's a little bit enigmatic what he's saying there, but what he's saying is that there are people in this world who know that they're in darkness, and he's come for them. But there are also other people who think they see, self-righteous ones like the Pharisees. I mean, they don't need Jesus. They just need themselves. But Jesus says they still sit in darkness, a darkness that they don't even recognize. And I'm afraid when I'm up here preaching like this, and there's somebody here who's saying, "Ah, I've heard the nice part of the service, now I got to hear this preacher prattle on for a while," and they want to ignore what is being said, I have to say, I fear that you're sitting in a darkness that you don't even know. Very dark. And I want to call you to life and light, if I may so do. Number six, he came to give life. We know he came to bring judgment, but judgment's really a side effect, if you will, of his coming. The main purpose is given in John 3:17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." John 10:10, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." If Jesus is offering life, the implication is that he's come to a realm of death. Wouldn't you say? If he's offering life, there must be something we're lacking, which means we're dead. dead in trespasses and sins. And that's true because sin entered the world through Adam and death through sin, Romans 5:12 tells us. It's everywhere obvious. Every funeral home, every cemetery, every urn with someone's remains inside is evidence of the truth of God's word. Jesus came with this express purpose to rescue us from that death and its eternal effects. He came to bring light as well. John 12:46, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Implication, the world exists in darkness. Hey, just take a look around, would you? You don't even have to look far. Just turn on your news on your phone or your computer or your television and you'll see darkness everywhere. Darkness. We don't want to abide in darkness, do we? Matthew 4:13 says this, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, those who sat in great darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. Amazing, isn't it? The light bearer came to Capernaum and to those places, and they saw light. Well, Zacharias knew the same. In Luke 1:79, the text of Scripture tells us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Well, bear with me just a couple more. He also came to proclaim the truth. Pilate asked him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. We so need this proclamation about Christ and the truth, don't we? What is truth? Where do you find truth? Can you find truth out there in the world full of propaganda and lies and deception and self-dealing and sin? You can't find truth. It's tough to sift through it. But with Jesus, he is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He came to do God's will also. We alluded to this earlier, but Hebrews 10:7, it says, then I said, behold, I have come. I have come. The Messiah has come. Glory be to God. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. To do your will. Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, the sacrifices, the offerings of the old covenant, that he may establish the second, the new covenant. It was God's will that Jesus come to offer his body once for all time, once for all people, in order to purify them, so that they would be fit for a relationship with God. Finally, he came with a purpose, to die for sinners and to be glorified. John 12, just before he went into the upper room, just before he went into suffering on the cross, he says, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. He couldn't turn back. He had to go on straight through the suffering of the cross, the ignominy, the shame, the pain, the judgment, the wrath of the Father against sin. He permitted himself to be sacrificed for people just like you and just like me. Every one of us. He let himself. Can I just emphasize that some? Every one of us here. I mean, I'm just thinking of all the wonderful people that are here. We have over 100 souls under the sound of these words right now. And I greeted many of you. You know, I feel like calling out names. You don't want me to call out names because it'd be too embarrassing. But, you know, Megan, thank you for coming. And Keeley and John, thank you for coming. And I saw Allison over here. I didn't even get to greet you when you came in. Thank you for coming today. And Reagan, where are you at? You're hiding there behind Jana. And Daniel, thank you for coming. Lou, That's wonderful that Luke came today. She is the piano teacher for the Dowell kids, so she got to see Jonah play that wonderful piece on the piano. The people whose names I remember, and I remember Hayden too, sitting there next to Mackenzie. That's nice that you came. I only remember a fraction of the names here in this room. God knows all of them. Instantaneously, simultaneously, without even having to think, you know, what's that name? Who's that person related to? He knows everything. He has you in mind when he has this stuff before you today, that Jesus came to die with a purpose. We want to be clear to every one of you. If you're not following Jesus, you remain in darkness and in death. We want you to instead be bathed in light and life. Jesus came to die in your place because your sins required justice. He offers to take your guilt away from you to himself. And he can do that because he not only died, but he conquered death by rising again from the grave. And as Lord and Christ, he freely offers you forgiveness. He offers you eternal life. He offers you right standing before God, although you don't deserve a right standing before God, do you? He offers it still. He simply asks you to turn around, turn away from your sin, and turn to him, to embrace him with total reliance and allegiance. Leave your self-autonomy behind. We all have that, don't we? We have that tendency. I want to be my own authority. I don't want somebody telling me that I've got to give up my authority, my autonomy to someone else. But listen, if you hold on to that and you become the arbiter of what is truth, you're going to find out that in the end, that arbitration is going to fail because God is really the truth, not you. He's coming again as king to rule the nations and to judge his creation. And the only way to be ready for that future time in your life is to trust in him. Jesus is the gift of the Father, and he offers us the gift of salvation through faith in him. We're urging you today to receive the most excellent of all gifts. He offers you free salvation. We're hoping that you walk out of here with your future transformed, with your eternity light and not darkness. My friends, please hear the word of the Lord. Our Father in heaven, oh, how I pray that indeed, we would consider well and bear in mind these truths that you have given to us. You came, our Lord, to give life, to bring light, to proclaim the truth, to die for sinners, to see if there was any fruit from heaven amongst men, and to show us the Father. Oh, thank you for that. And I pray that your Spirit will work to convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come, of the king's call upon the lives of his subjects to repent and believe the gospel. Everyone here is subject to the King of Kings. May they acknowledge it now and bow the knee. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Let us sing together hymn number 190. I wonder if Dan maybe could come and lead us. Are you available? There you are. I knew you were sitting over there. I'm looking around to where you normally sit. If you could lead us in hymn number 190, verses 1 and 3, and then we will be dismissed.
Would you stand, please, as we close 190, the first and third verses. Verse 3, please. Silent night, O
May God's grace and peace go with you. Merry Christmas to all. Hope you'll be able to join us for the food just down the hall. If not, Godspeed to your next destination.